I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com.
Katya, I really didn't know what to expect, but during our rehearsals, I was really blown away by the voice, and I knew that I would be able to continue to work along with you. The winner of this knockout round is Katya.
Katya! We move on to the last playoffs.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to embark on a journey through a vast galaxy that traverses memory, generations, and popular culture. A magical trip through time as we meet the men and women of yesterday and today who have shaped not only what we see on TV, but the way we see ourselves. I'm Jim Benson. Join me, if you will, on an exploration of television's past, present, and future as we climb aboard the TV Time Machine. Our destination subject today will be Katya from NBC's The Voice. Katya herself will join us for a fascinating excursion exploring her music and this remarkably popular program. We'll begin our exciting and fun-filled odyssey right after these brief messages.
I was born Mary Tyler Moore.
It's Jesse Donald Knotts.
Fred McFeely Rogers.
Leslie Moonves.
Isabel Sanford.
Leslie Renee Stahl.
Robert Edward Turner.
Regis Francis Philbin.
Aaron Spelling.
Since 1999, the Archive of American Television has been preserving the memories, knowledge, and insights of the men and women whose talents and vision have helped shape this remarkable medium. Over 500 video interviews with these TV legends are now available on the Archive of American Television website at metvlegends.org. There, you can sign up to receive news, updates, and also become a sponsor to help preserve television history for generations to come. That's metvlegends.org.
The mythological proportions of Star Trek provide something that's missing in people's consciousness, psyche.
The Archive of American Television, capturing television history, one voice at a time. Today on the TV Time Machine, we ask you to lend us your ear as we turn our chair around for a very special voice. In this edition of our program, we are pleased to welcome one of the top vocalists from last season's edition of The Voice, Katya. Katya's remarkable journey on the hit NBC series was distinguished by the honor of being chosen by two judges on the program, musical legends Shakira and Usher. Over the next segment, Katya will help us explore virtually every aspect of her extraordinary experience on The Voice and also talk about her debut album, Indiegogo Campaign. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to hit your button, feel free to take a seat as we give many Shakiras for the past while we usher in a beautifully melodic present. Katya, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Katya, you were one of the major talents on last season's The Voice. Tell us a little bit about your background and what led to your interest in music.
Well, I always knew music was something I wanted to be doing from the age of 5. I was singing at my graduation in school for kindergarten. And then from then on, I just decided to start taking voice lessons, and it all really came together when I attended LaGuardia Arts High School in New York City, which is the fame school, and there is where I really developed and found my voice and realized that this is something I 100% wanted to pursue.
Now, Katya, what events led to you auditioning for The Voice? How did you get that idea?
Well, I had always wanted to be on one of the singing competitions on television. I had previously tried out for The Voice, for X Factor, American Idol, and it just so happened that sometimes it's just your time, and I feel that's what happened with The Voice. I went in there without expecting too much, just hoping for the best, and then I found myself on the top four Team Usher contestants. So it was kind of a big deal to me. But I'm really happy that I got onto the show and got the opportunity that I did.
Now, this is always fascinating to me. Take us through the auditioning process for The Voice. What was that experience like for you?
It was very nerve-wracking because when you go in for your blind audition, they really don't know anything about you, and you're just facing the backs of four chairs. It can be a little intimidating. But the producers on the show do a really great job at making us all feel comfortable, and they try to pump us up before all of our performances. So it was definitely something that I was new to. Being that I'm only 19 as well, was a very overwhelming experience, but I'm very grateful and I'm glad that I was able to be there. I learned a lot.
Now, the day of your blind audition, what were you thinking and feeling that day?
I mean, we had interviews beforehand where they would ask us about how you felt, and of course I was nervous because not only was I going to be singing to four turned chairs, I would be singing in Spanish, and only one coach was going to understand what I was even saying. So from off the bat, I was just crossing my fingers, hoping that Shakira would like what she heard, and thankfully she did. But not only that, I also had Usher and Blake turn around, so that was a pretty big deal for me.
Now, did you choose your blind audition song? I believe it was I Don't Surrender.
Yeah, in Spanish. It's exactly what it means, I won't give up.
Were you confident with that song going in, that you could really make an impression with that song?
I feel like once I got it, that was my song, I was like a little apprehensive about it because it was in Spanish. But I'm very for music with a message, and that song is humongous in the Latin pop culture. It's a huge record, and it was very big shoes to fill as well. But I was thankful that I got a song that would really mean something to me as an artist, because with my own music, I try to make music that has a message to it, and it's not just making a song for the sake of it, you know? So I felt like I had a really good chance at making an impression with it, just because I really try to connect emotionally with music and songs, and this audition song allowed me to do that.
Now, were you hoping Shakira would turn around, or were you just hoping for any chair to turn?
Of course, I was hoping Shakira would turn around. I had always said that she would be my top pick, but I was like, whoever turns around, because I know Blake had turned around for the Latin artist the season prior.
Right.
And I was like, anyone who turns around, I would be grateful for, because they're all extremely successful and they can all give us tips that would help us in our careers.
So when you were singing that song and Usher turned around, what did you feel at that moment?
I was like, oh my God, I'm on the show. That's exactly what went through my head, because you only need one chair. I was like, I don't care if anyone else turns, I am on The Voice season 4. And I was like freaking out inside, and then I just tried to look at the crowd instead because she was making me nervous. But it was honestly something that I'll never forget, because like my heart was pounding and I was like, oh my God, I'm on the show.
Well, not only that, you got a standing ovation from the coaches and the audience. Did you expect that in your wildest dreams?
No, I didn't. That's why I was crying. Because not only did I get to sing and I got the coaches to turn, but they recognized my talent from such an early stage in the competition. Not everyone gets a standing ovation, and that was something that really humbled me, and I was like, it was an extremely amazing experience, and that's why I was just crying. Tears of joy.
Now, ultimately, you chose Shakira to work with. Mm-hmm. What was it like working with her, and what did you learn from her?
I just learned more about connecting emotionally with songs. She really stressed that, because she does that with her own music. She's a very emotional and singer and songwriter. So I took that away from her, as well as She's a very smart person, so she, you can tell that she hasn't risen to the top because she didn't work for it. Like, she just stressed the importance of working really hard for everything and practicing at all times, and she's an amazing coach, and I'm very thankful to have been coached by her and shared those experiences that I did with her.
Well, then you, later on in the show, you had the knockout round with Mary Miranda. What was that experience like, and is it difficult to sing with someone when at the same time you're competing with them?
Yeah, for battle rounds, it was very intense because both of us didn't know the song that we were given, because I love Shakira as an artist, but I've heard most of her mainstream music. I've never really heard, like, all of her other stuff. Although now, when I had picked her as my coach, I decided to do some research, and I had heard of the song, but I didn't really know it, since I never thought we would ever get it. And she picked that song for us. So right off the bat, it was definitely a lot of nervous energy because I didn't know the song, and we only had one day to prepare it because we went into rehearsals with her the next day. And it was definitely difficult, but I tried my hardest to not only learn the song and become familiar with it, but also try and do it justice. It was a lot of pressure to sing Shakira's song to Shakira. So it was something that I learned a lot from. And yeah, it is a little hard to sing with someone while you're competing, but you just have to keep in mind that you're both in it together, and if you both work as a team, there will be a positive outcome for both, which is what happened to us. And that's what we decided after our second rehearsal with Shakira. We were like, if we do this as a team and instead try to lose the mentality of being in a battle, then we will probably do a great job and someone will want to steal us. And that's what happened.
Just let me remind you that Katya is available to steal. What would you like to say to Shakira?
I would just like to thank you so much for this opportunity. I've learned so much from you. It's truly been such an honor, and I can't thank you enough, and all of you, because even though you guys haven't coached me, I've learned watching you, and truly, thank you so much.
You are amazing. You really are amazing.
Katya, everybody, give a round of applause as she exits the Voice stage.
Did you think you were going home? Were you shocked when he stole you?
Yes, I really thought I was going home, because sometimes people think that you were the last battle of the day and that there were no more steals left, but we as contestants don't know that. We don't know if there's any steals left, and I went earlier in the second day of battle taping, and when she picked Mary, I was like, oh, my God, I'm going home. I'm trying to hold back tears. And then I stepped down. I was literally asking what way to go off stage, and Usher pushed the button, and I was like, oh, my God. And then, once again, Usher made me cry. Because in the blind auditions, he was the first one who stood up, too, and that was, like, crazy. So I'm very happy that he still wanted to work with me even afterwards. So it was great.
Now, how did Usher's coaching style differ from Shakira?
Usher was much more, I guess, intense. Like, if when we were practicing, if he didn't like what he heard, he would just stop you and say what he thought, and then you would start again. He was a great coach in that it's more of like, I felt like he was teaching me so many different things. Like, he helped me so much on my stage presence, while also stressing the importance of performing the song and doing whatever song you're doing justice and connecting emotionally with it. So he's someone who really looks at every single detail and gives you his advice on it, and then you can take it and use it for your performance.
So what you see on The Voice as a TV viewer, that's really how he's coaching?
Yeah, he was very serious. But he really has a way with people. You feel like you're the only person that matters at that moment. He has that, like, aura about him, that gift that he can make you feel like you're the only person right now who matters, and you're seeing for your dream, and he's going to help you reach it. So he was very one-on-one with us and very intense. Like, he was not afraid to get in your face and make you sing to him. Like, he made me dance with him. And I was like, what? I don't dance. And so, yeah, it was really, it was amazing. I can't, it's crazy that you know why he's so successful, because the stuff that he was trying to teach us would prove why he's had such an amazing career as well.
Then in the next knockout round, you sang Mr. Know-It-All, which was your first English language song on The Voice. Was that your song choice?
Yes, it was. That was 100% my song choice.
Okay, now, I've always wondered about this. What was the reason for choosing that song? Were you trying to send a message with that song?
Kind of.
Okay.
I was trying to, because for my audition and for Battles, I got a lot of criticism about why am I still singing in Spanish, and people thought I wasn't friendly enough or something, which I thought was so weird because I'm always laughing and I'm so outgoing. Like, being from New York, you can't not be friendly.
Right.
So I really wanted to use the song because, first of all, I love the song and I love Kelly Clarkson. I would want to make music kind of like hers because all of her songs have a message. They're not just about, like, making a song for the sake of it. So I love Kelly Clarkson. I absolutely love that song. And I felt like it was fitting for me to do it at that moment just to show everyone, like, oh, you think I can only sing in Spanish? Well, here's this English song. I'm not only going to sing it, but I'm going to kill it in English so that you know that you don't know anything about me.
So did Usher coach you to attack the song the way that you did with that sort of, you know, New York sassy attitude, or was that your idea?
I was doing a little bit of it, but he told me to exaggerate it more because he was like, as a girl, you can be so much more sassy. You can walk around. You can have the attitude in you, but also exude it more by using your hands, using your body positioning and stuff. So he really did push that a lot because he's very much about the theatrics of a performance as well. So as we saw, like with Michelle, as she progressed, her stage performances got more and more theatrical. He's more into the whole performance,
right,
to really move a crowd.
When you were performing that song, did you notice how Usher was reacting to you during your performance?
No, I didn't know that. Because what the thing was, me and Ryan Innes were left as the last knockouts, exactly how it happened, the way it was shown. And I thought I was being set up to go home because Ryan Innes is absolutely phenomenal. And we all thought he was one of the biggest competitors there. So when I saw that me and Ryan were left, I was like, wow, I guess I'm going to just try my best. But it doesn't seem too good because Ryan's a monster vocalist. And I went on stage, and I was like, this may or may not be my last performance on this stage, so I'm going to make every second worth it, and I'm going to sell this song and have a label want to call me afterwards.
Right.
That was my thought process behind it. So I was so into the song that I didn't look at the coaches. I didn't know what they were. And also, the lighting is dim on them since everything is more focused on the stage. So I was just in my own world, singing to the crowd and just feeling the song. It wasn't until I saw the video that I saw that he was, like, smiling the whole time, which was so great to see.
Yeah, you could almost see him thinking and kind of changing his mind about what he was expecting to do in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt that, too. I was like, wow. I feel like I proved myself, and I really showed him that he can believe in me as an artist.
During that song, tell us about the moment. I think you know what I'm talking about. When you hit those high notes,
mm-hmm.
Were you concerned about hitting those notes perfectly the way you did? And were you surprised by the reaction that people were surprised that you could do that?
Yeah, I was surprised by the reaction because since I sing opera, I'm very used to singing high notes. Like, I can sing whistle notes like Mariah Carey. I can do higher notes than I did in the song, which is something that I'm going to be incorporating in my own music now that I have the freedom to do so. But when I got Mr. Know-It-All, I realized that I needed to make my song have a moment because you only get 1 minute and 30 seconds to sell yourself. And when I decided, me and my vocal coach, we were talking about it, and I was like, yeah, I want to put these high notes. She was like, oh, you can go even higher, so do this. And then we put that high note in. And Usher was extremely impressed. He was like, wow, I didn't know you could hit that. But after singing, since our rehearsals were about 45 minutes long, by the third time of run-through of the song, I started missing some of the notes. And he was like, okay, if you're going to do a high note, then you have to nail it every single time. So I went and I practiced, and it came out perfectly during my knockout, which I was so ecstatic about. And it's just something I didn't know it would have that kind of reaction with the people in the audience, but they went crazy when they heard that. And I thought it was great because I just kept showing these different sides of me and to my voice, and that's something that I'm happy I got to do on the show.
Right, because Blake said, whoa, when you did that. And
yeah. And so did Shakira. And they're both like, damn.
So later on, you returned to perform non-competitively on The Voice last month. What was that like?
It was great, an amazing experience. I learned a lot about myself as an artist, about what kind of music I want to be making. But it also showed that when musicians get together, we kind of all just become this big family because I'm still great friends with everyone. Like, I visited Michelle a couple weeks ago, and I've been talking to Karina, Monique. Like, we all keep in contact, and we're all interested in what each other's doing. So it just, The Voice is an amazing platform, not only because it helps you as an artist, but because it helps you connect with other people who share the same dream as you and want to see each other succeed. So it was great.
Katia, tell us about your debut album project and your Indiegogo campaign.
After The Voice, I decided that I really needed to get my original material together since I was competing with people who had albums out already.
Right.
Since I'm only 19, like, I have all these songs that I hadn't thought of really getting in the studio, finding some amazing producers, and getting them recorded and out into the world. So as soon as I got back from the show, I went into the studio with an amazing producer named Gaetano, and he is a great producer in the industry. And he's helping me with my album, but I need to get it funded. And for that, I need $25,000 or more. Right now, I'm shooting for $25,000, and that would be for my debut album, which would have a number of songs on it that are 100% me and the direction I want to be making, or the direction I want to be going in with my own music. So I started an Indiegogo campaign, which is a crowdfunding campaign where fans and supporters, friends, family, they all donate to get this project funded and on the road. So I'm really shooting for $25,000, and it's on Indiegogo, and everyone can go check it out. It's just go on Indiegogo.com and type Katia's debut album, and it'll pop up right there.
Can you go over some of the perks that people can receive when they contribute to your debut album campaign?
Oh, yeah. I made perks that I was really hoping would help me connect with my supporters one-on-one. I have Skype sessions. People can come to New York if they're or in the area and meet with me and ask me questions. We have one where you can Skype into our studio session and see how it's going. And one of, obviously, the perks, the first perk is to get a digital download of the EP. And the next perk is to get a deluxe digital download. I have signed posters, signed T-shirts, signed copies of the album when it comes out, which I'm hoping will be the end of the fall of this year. And it's just something that I try to make every single perk be more of a one-on-one with my supporters. I also have performances if you want me to perform at your event, if you want me to write you a song, things like that, that I'm really hoping will help me meet all of my supporters and really thank them so much for continuing to support my music.
Besides Indiegogo, where can people find out more about yourself online?
People can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. All of them are, my username is Katya Singh, so it would be facebook.com/KatyaSings and then twitter.com/KatyaSings. They're all the same thing. But I also have my own website, www.katyaofficial.com, where everyone can find all of the links to my social media, all of the press that I've been doing, and everything that I've been up to, as well as my YouTube channel. If you just type in Katya, it pops right up. So I have a very active presence on social media and the internet.
Katya, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you aboard the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past.
Of course. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity.